You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 20th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy standing by in Madison A1. First to note that author Laura Ann Bird joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk about some book festivals around Wisconsin, exactly what they are and why you might want to consider attending one. A reminder that you can always sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter is whether online sports betting tied to tribal casinos in Wisconsin should be a thing. There are sports books at some casinos, but what about online, where you can place bets on professional sports through tribal casinos based here in this state? Let us know your thoughts by heading over to sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has its own daily newsletter. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com to learn more. And speaking of Civic Media from WMDX down there in beautiful Madison, John and Gordy are joining us now to talk about their weekend. And I will start by saying good morning, guys. This weekend is brought to you by Aleve for when you've been power washing the siding and attacking buckthorn and putting away deck furniture. But I mean, it was the perfect fall weather weekend for doing some of that fall house stuff. Home ownership, man, ain't nothing like it.
Oh, I know. I love it myself. You know, I was doing the stairway up to the upper deck, and it's all wood, and I was trying to preserve it, and it rained the next day. So that was a self-defeating moment for Mr. Handyman here. You know, but what the heck, you know, that's what happens when you're a homeowner. You just got to work with what you get.
If you let things go, like I did with the buckthorn, it just makes it that much harder when you finally go in after it. So it never ends.
You know, I got a charging station now for my EV, my car, my electronic space car. And I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed, a lot of money. But it's done, and now I can charge it any damn time I want.
And anybody else who wants to stop by John's house,
stop by.
Bring your electric toothbrush. Plug it right in. We'll charge that up. We'll get all kinds of things charged up and going for you.
That's right.
Gordy, you didn't work nearly as hard as the rest of us, did you?
Oh, he did.
Well, actually, I worked. I still had to wrap up my move from the east, from the west side of Madison to the east side of Madison in the middle of all everything else that was going on in Madison with the protests, the No Kings protest, and of course the Badger game on Saturday.
See, he wants to be with the hippies on the east side of Madison. He wants to hang out with
them.
The patchouli oil and the beaded curtains in the doorways. That's
Oh man, but I picked the wrong weekend to move.
You did.
But we got it all done.
He had to go through the No Kings parade.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking now on the text line. Troy in Mount Horeb has been uploading pictures from the rally there. Again, all kinds of great signs. Here's another one going, I am Aunt Tifa. I don't know if there's an Uncle Tifa, but I like her sign there. And I was saying before, I mean, times like these, you really find out that even in times of, you know, despair and crises, people are funny. Man, when they need to be, when they need to make a protest sign, they're good.
Yeah, I think they've got the hand on the pulse of the nation by going in costumes and making it fun. So that if anything does happen, if they get hassled by the cops or the National Guard, it'll look really, really bad for them because they're hauling away a unicorn or a giant bee or maybe
a slightly
Merlin
deflated T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly. So no, there were all kinds of great signs. I love the costumes, and again, just the how do I put this? I mean, people that they totally care about their country and not just about themselves. It's not just like, you know, my social security or something. And they're caring about the people who are being rounded up on the streets. You know, they're caring about people other than themselves. And I think it was all in all a very positive experience for the country.
Yeah, in fact, it contradicted a lot of the stereotypes that the right wing tried to portray about these events, because they always said, well, the signs are the same, they're prefabricated and all that stuff. That is completely opposite of what we saw.
Yeah.
Everybody created their own sign.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I thought it was maybe when I looked at the times, because the times were all over the place. Some started at 9 a.m., some started later. And I thought it was a little odd that the Madison one was going to basically coincide with a football game. And then I realized there's so many people, they wanted any reason not to go to the football game anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, can we rally for every Badger football team home game for the foreseeable future? I mean, we'll find a reason if we have to.
Well, one interesting statistic is that there were no arrests for the big No Kings rally at the Capitol. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there were 17, I think, arrests at the UW Badger game. So maybe Trump should get the National Guard out to protect us at the
Camp Randall.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing that somebody noted, is that in all of the pictures from all these protests, you don't see like grifters selling their t-shirts and their flags.
Exactly.
You saw that the sidewalks were left clean, and as somebody else said, and Grindr didn't crash. So, I mean, unlike a lot of the January 6th, you know, and related stuff, you know, these were folks who were very task focused, and it wasn't just another, you know, sideshow like it seems to be at a lot of these Trump rallies and things like that. So I really got to tip my cap to folks.
Yeah, leaving the streets and the sidewalks clean was something that I noticed as well. I watched a lot of the opposition, the right wing postings of the empty streets, you know, saying no one showed up. You know, it was after the event, of course, but the streets were absolutely sparkling. I mean, there was not a thing on the ground at all. But after a, you know, rally for Trump, it's
all the time.
It's
usually trashed. Yeah.
It really crazy. Is. Yeah. Talking to John and Gordy from 92.7 WMDX, right?
You got it. Mm-hmm.
See what? Look at that. The show prep. It's all about the show prep. So.
You did it.
So we've gone over the No Kings rallies and the Badger game, and have we all just kind of collectively moved on from the Brewers, or are we still in any kind of a mourning period for what happened with the Dodgers?
No.
The Brewers did the best they could, and it wasn't nearly good enough.
We could see them petering out.
Yeah.
This was going to be a bad event, and it was, so it's done.
Yeah. But like I was saying, when you saw that game, when you saw Shohei Ohtani, what he did, you know, I mean, I was awestruck, to be quite honest with you, because
I
know what he does, but then when you see him do it to your team, you're like, I can't even be mad. I just got to admire the guy for doing
absolutely
this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Three homers and held
10 strikeouts and
unbelievable. Yeah,
I know. What else were you guys talking about on the show today?
Well, we were talking about the Packers and finally pulling it out at the end, where they've been normally losing the games at the end, but this was just a fantastic win. And the fact that a kicker comes in the second time he started for the Packers, he was going to go into teaching momentarily, and then all of a sudden the Packers called him up. He goes out there and he makes a record kick. A Green Bay Packer record kick.
It made me wonder, I suppose, do we know what he's getting paid? I mean, know it's we know it's more than a teacher, because otherwise he'd have said no thanks. But that's a pretty good swap of paychecks, you know, for the work that he does.
But I mean, we had Jan Stenerud. We had these great kickers with the Green Bay Packers. This guy comes in, he would have been going into teaching had he not been called up by the Packers second game, and he kicks a record field goal, I believe.
So let's say this happens to you. What team, what sport could call you and say, we need an emergency walk-on, and you're the guy? So is it John, the impromptu hockey goalie? Is it Gordy, the impromptu place kicker? What would get the call for you? What would you be willing to do to try as a walk?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a really good question. And
while you contemplate that, keep in mind that one of my favorite things I like to say during any time there's an Olympics is there should always be one regular person competing in this thing so that you know how good these athletes are. So like when they're swimming, way down at the bottom of the screen in lap eight, you know, is Floyd, who's otherwise, you know, a janitor at the arena, and he's trying his best, you know, swimming down there in lane eight, or somebody running in the other lane. And, you know, it's good to appreciate that these guys, even these walk-on kickers, are pretty darn good. So now they've given you time to think about it. What could you conceivably be called in to do?
I'm glad you brought up sports, because I was really good at the javelin throw when I was a teenager.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I went to an overnight camp for 2 weeks. My parents obviously needed the break, but they had an Olympic day. And I threw that spear farther than any other camp counselor, anybody at the camp. I was so good at it because I watched a lot of, you know, Jungle Jim and Tarzan movies and how the natives threw the spears. And I watched it because they always projected. They always put the weight of the spear on the front end and they pushed it. And it was just the way to do it. And
I've never been so thankful to be a distance coworker right now that if you ever got upset,
look out.
I mean, whether it's Gordy or Alba, if something comes through the window one of these times and just right through the chest, we'll know who to suspect right away. Go. So, So javelin thrower.
Yes.
There you go, Gordy. Now what'd you come up with?
Oh, gosh. The only thing that I was ever any good at sports-wise was ping pong. So, you know, I don't think there's a call
for
it.
He's good. You know,
it's in the Olympics. Ping pong. It counts. Yeah. Parker, how about you?
I was decent enough at tennis. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like you're being modest right now.
What about
now,
you,
Dan?
Pat?
Yeah. There must be a water boy role in some of these things, you know, that somebody, somebody could
so
do.
You go for a call up on being a water boy. I got it.
I guess I would do that. If I had gone into sports, which quite clearly I did not, the two positions that I admire are like hockey goalie and baseball catcher. You know, in both cases, they're not your typical, you know, on offense, but they're very key to, you know, keeping the game under control and keeping the score from getting run up. And those are things I might have tried maybe in my next lifetime, you know, when I do crazy things like exercise, you know, and eat right. I might consider one of those things. But
they sound like safe parts of the team.
Well, catchers are that's the most difficult position.
Is
there
it really?
Is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, baseballs coming at you at 100 miles and pucks coming at you. Oh yeah. I mean, there's definitely an element of, and especially with these catchers nowadays, instead of getting in the traditional squat, they do the one leg sticking one way leg. Out.
It scares me.
And I got to keep this friendly for radio, but a lot of catchers have been getting hurt badly in certain spots, because that's the style they use now. And I do not recommend. I'd rather blow up my knees than anything else that I could possibly talk about here right now. So there we go. So there's our pickup emergency sports. If you need any of us for any of these things, you guys know how to reach us. John and Gordy joining us from our Civic Media Station in Madison. And still ahead, we'll be talking to author Laura Bird all about book festivals around Wisconsin that are going on this fall. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Just about 8:23 right now, and visiting with our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. And then a little bit later on, Jane Matinair will join us to talk about Matinair on Air with herself and with Greg Bach coming up 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are, again, getting to that time. We're getting deeper into October, which means we'll be, you know, dealing with trick-or-treaters and pumpkins and everything else before we know it. So are you guys... What do you do in the big old city there? I mean, are there pumpkin patches in the area, or is it just they're all lined up in front of the big box grocery store and you just grab one out?
Well, that too. That's the easy way.
That's the easy way. Yeah, Woodman seems to have a lot of cheap pumpkins on sale, but of course you see them lined up along the roadways, you know, the farmers have it all out there, or you pass by the big fields filled with pumpkins, you know, wonder what's going to happen to all those pumpkins. You know, are they going to sell them? Are they going to make pumpkin pie, canned pumpkin pie? I don't know, but I feel sorry for anybody who has to go out into those fields, because I did with my kid on a field trip in preschool. They went out to the pumpkin patch and found a great pumpkin to catch, and it was just great stuff, you know, but stepping on the rotten pumpkins was always something my kid loved to do.
that's farm life, you know. Farm life is not clean.
You know? All those kids, you know, they don't have fun. So do you
do the full pumpkin carving? You gut them out and, you know, roast the seeds, and do you come up with like clever designs? My go-to design is still like, well, here's two triangles for the eyes, and here's a mouth. You know, other people just go crazy with their pumpkin carving.
How do they do that, right? How do they make those pictures? It's fantastic.
They have this thing that I lack. Well, two things: talent and patience, which both are very much required. Gordy, are you a pumpkin carver?
Well, they have special. I do it occasionally. You know, probably every other Halloween I'll carve up a pumpkin, but for the grandkids. But I think they have these special carving knives, you know, the ones that are very artistic. You can get a little carving kit of
kind. The light shines through just parts of
those
the
are kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Now, and Gordy, you're changing addresses, so you don't know what you're going to get for trick or treaters this year. John, are you
no idea?
Yeah,
no
John,
idea.
Do you get a bunch?
We have this big house set back in the lot. No one ever comes up to the house.
It's very scary looking.
It does look like a scary house, too.
It's a haunted house.
And we never have the lights on, so maybe that's another reason.
That might be.
Real dark back there. So we never have kids. But I went to my friend's house in a very busy neighborhood, kind of a McMansion neighborhood. And the kids came by, and I was just – I was just so impressed with children and kids and the way they acted at the door. And they're so darn cute and everything. I mean, I just melted. Every time a kid came to the door, I just melted because we never get kids at the door. And it was my one time that I did it. And it was just, I was almost in tears because some of the kids were just so darn cute and the way they asked for the candy. I couldn't resist, and I had to give them more candy than they wanted.
I was going to say, do you do just the little fun size things, or do you go crazy with what you hand out for trick or treating?
I went crazy with my friend's handouts.
With your friend's handouts?
Yeah. We don't get kids at our house, but I gave all their candy away very quickly. But the kids were just cute.
When we first moved to Chippewa Falls, the girls were 4 and 6. Of course, this was 30 years ago, and it was great to take them around the neighborhood, especially the area where some of the other doctors lived. And one in particular took great joy in being the house that every other parent didn't like, because they gave out to every kid a full size candy bar and a can of Mountain Dew.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, why do you hate your neighbors so much? Like, oh, it's for Halloween. You got to give the kids, you know, if you're going to have sugar, just have sugar all the way. Sure, and enough caffeine to drop a horse. Sure, why not? You know?
Yeah. Guy worked for a beverage distributor. That helps, you know.
Yeah, you would think so. We'd go with the regular, you know, traditional fun-size stuff. And, of course, for me, it's Kit Kats, because I could – if there's one thing I don't think I could ever get sick of, is it's Kit Kats. Everybody's got something, or there's something you could never eat again because you ate so many of them. I'm sure there's things like that as well. But for me, you're going to get Kit Kats if you come over here. You guys have a
funny favorite? The candy we pass out is the candy that we would eat ourselves, because if there's any left, we're going to eat it ourselves.
But that's what makes me wonder, when I was a kid,
who was giving out popcorn balls? Because we'd get these popcorn balls, which were just stale and sticky and just gross. I'm like, what made people back then think that that was such a good idea? You'd get them because I lived in a big apartment complex. And so you brought a pillowcase, and that pillowcase got at least half full, you know, of candy. We had candy for months afterward. Well, months for most, weeks for me, which is why I have so many fillings as I do. But you know, we just lived in one of those where we got all kinds of stuff, but yeah, stuff that you also look like, who thought the popcorn balls were a good idea, or some of the other things that they hand out?
Well, a caramel apple, I remember that wasn't a good idea to put in the bag, you know?
No,
it was not.
Well, I don't know about you, Pat, but I think in the old days, as far as when I was a kid going out trick-or-treating, you could go as late as possible. I mean,
you could go until
7, 8, 9 o'clock, as long as you want. Yep. But now they put time limits on it, you know, just for safety's sake, I'm sure.
But, you know, I totally get it, but it is a different time where, you didn't know. I mean, and they, of course, the kids would get older by sometime after 9 o'clock, you hear the doorbell and it would be some, 15-year-old and he had a t-shirt with like a pack of cigarettes rolled up on the sleeve, pretending to be Fonzie or something like that. And it's like, well, I'll give you my last candy bar, and then I'm shutting the porch light off after that.
Yeah.
You know, looking forward to it. It's a good sign of the changing season, because as much as we don't have the Brewers to think about anymore, we now are turning to a Packer team that is winning. We've got Halloween, and I think y'all know what that means. You're thinking, wait a minute, they got another week. Can't they talk about Halloween next week? No, next week we have to talk about Christmas. Because that's the way the merchandise calendar works in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything will be out on the shelves. Trust me. John and Gordy, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great
week.
Thank
you.
All right. When we come back, we will talk to Laura Ann Bird, author, about book festivals happening around Wisconsin right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know, you can follow Up North News on social media. Just look up Up North News WI on your favorite social media platform. And you can follow this show as well. Just search for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Facebook. We've got our own Facebook page where we also stream the show live, along with the Up North News and Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Let's talk to author Laura Ann Bird about book festivals. There are a couple of nice ones coming to Wisconsin in the coming days. And before we'll find out some of the books that are going to be highlighted, we got to get to the basics about what is a book festival. So first we got to say good morning to Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Pat.
Thanks for having me. Thank you for being here. So let's start with, when we hear that there are book festivals, and specifically we're going to talk about the Chippewa Valley Book Festival and then the Wisconsin Book Festival. What, Laura, is a book festival?
Well, I just want to say that they are for everybody. You don't have to be a writer or a poet or a real book nerd like me. Anybody can go, and you can just go and listen to an author who's speaking about a book or an idea that interests you. So these book festivals are free and easy, and they're a real celebration of ideas and storytelling. And I don't know about you, but I feel really fortunate to live in a place that values those things. One other thing I want to—oh, sorry, what was that? No, I totally agree.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah. And I just want to like reassure listeners out there that you don't actually have to read the book to go to a book festival event. I think people feel like they need to prepare somehow. You just show up, right?
I was going to say, the author's not going to quiz you like, you didn't actually read my book. No.
Okay. And I think the assumption actually is that most people haven't read the book. And so they'll be talking kind of big picture about their books, and they're for everybody. So
What do you typically see? I mean, I'm guessing there's an area with like books and vendors, but then an area where like authors and other people speak, or are there other elements of it that I'm missing?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on what book festival you go to. I can speak to the Wisconsin Book Festival, which I'll talk about in just a minute, but most of the events take place at Central Library in downtown Madison, and they have a few rooms reserved, and there's seating, and the author is up front. you know, and everyone else comes and listens. And usually the author is in conversation with someone else. And so it's a conversation, it's a dialogue back and forth. And audience members can jump in and ask questions. It's really laid back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And we'll come back to that one, but there's also the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which is actually getting its start tomorrow.
It is October 21st through the 25th, Chippewa Valley Book Festival. Check them out online, cvbookfest.org. They are offering both in-person and virtual events, and all of them are free. They do want you to register ahead of time, though, I think just to kind of get a handle on numbers. And all the events take place at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. And they have a bunch of people coming and speaking, but I just wanted to focus on three exciting titles that I think might get people excited to go. And I do want to say, too, to listeners out there, even if you can't attend these book festivals, stick with our conversation here because I have some really good recommendations. I mean, all these books are like buzzy and hot this fall, so you'll get some good reading ideas.
Okay.
So the first one is food writer Lori Frederick is coming to talk about her new book, Wisconsin Field to Fork, Farm Fresh Recipes from the Dairy State. I want to buy a copy of this for myself. It's a cookbook that weaves the stories of local farmers with 70 recipes using Wisconsin-grown ingredients. And so she really offers a fresh perspective on the value of local food. So I think that'll be a great one.
That will be. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Christina Clancy, beloved Wisconsin author, who is delightful to listen to and engage with. So she'll be really fun at her presentation. She'll be talking about her latest novel, The Snowbirds, which explores a Midwestern couple's attempt to work on their relationship. And they do that by trading their harsh Wisconsin winter for the sunshine in Palm Springs. And everything goes great. Until it doesn't. So she'll be talking about like midlife, long-term relationships, and the power of place. And last, Leif Enger, Minnesota author from Duluth, who I love. He's one of my favorite writers. He'll be talking about his latest novel, I Cheerfully Refuse. And this is kind of an interesting book because it's a strange mashup of literary fiction and dystopian fiction. And I don't know how Leif does it, but he does it, and it's tremendous. And it's the story of a musician who sets sail across Lake Superior in search of his departed wife. And he sort of is like this modern-day Gulliver figure as he navigates the wild sea. So it's really good. Okay. Yeah.
So those are being highlighted at Chippewa Valley Book Fest.
Yep.
And again, that is cvbookfest.org. I'm looking at their website here where it says you can listen to stories, engage with the authors, you can inspire young writers, you can create some lasting memories. There's all kinds of things that you can do there, at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library, downtown Eau Claire. Let's get over it out to the Wisconsin Festival, which, like you mentioned, is there in Madison.
Yes, and I'm kind of biased here because I'm an ambassador for the book festival, so I could talk about it all day. I love it so much. Truly, it's one of the largest and most respected book festivals in the country. It's really huge. It's October 21st through the 25th. And Wisconsin Book Festival does offer programs and events throughout the entire year. But this is the four-day centerpiece. There are more than 70 presenting authors participating in 55 events over these 4 days. So it's huge. Most of the events are held at Central Library in downtown Madison, but not all of them. So you're going to want to check the schedule, which is found at wisconsinbookfestival.org. Every event is free and open to the public with no tickets or registration required. And you kind of alluded to this before, and I'm glad you mentioned it. There are three local booksellers here in Madison that are having like pop-up stores at Central Library. So you can actually buy the books that are featured. And in almost all instances, the authors will be there signing them, which is really cool. Yeah.
All right. And you got some of the books that will be highlighted?
Absolutely. I've got some great ones. I should also mention, too, if you don't live close to Madison, the festival tries to record almost all of the events, and then they'll be put up online a couple weeks after the event. So make sure to check the website so that you can actually watch.
I noticed that on the website. Yeah. That's a great feature.
It's really cool. So the first book, I'm biased again because I'm so excited about this one. It's Destroy This House by Amanda Yulee. I'm actually her conversation partner on Friday night. So I'll be sitting up there asking her about her memoir. This book is so good. It's about growing up with a mother who had a really serious hoarding problem and a father who never quite told the truth to Amanda and her little brother. It's a really hard story. I give her a lot of credit for telling it. You know, she got through her childhood, and here she is on the other side, writing in this really fresh, engaging voice. So we're going to have a great conversation.
Okay. And that, again, that was Destroy This House.
What's our next one? Fiction by the title is Great Black Hope, and it's fiction, and it's by Rob Franklin. This is a really buzzy book this fall. It's a debut about a young Black man caught between all these worlds. He's caught between race and class, glamour and tragedy. And the main character is Smith, and he has to deal with his friend's mysterious death and his own subsequent arrest. And so this story takes you from, like, the nightclub to the courtroom. So that'll be really good. Okay, this is going to be a hot event at Wisconsin Book Festival on Sunday. Mary Roach is coming to talk about her newest nonfiction title, Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy. So she is really famous. She writes about science in a really entertaining way, and all of her titles have just done really, really well. So Replaceable You is her latest, and in it, she examines regenerative medicine. And that's sort of like looking at the questions prompted by the failings of the human body. Like, how does a person decide if they would be better off with a prosthetic limb? Can a donated heart be made to beat forever? I don't know the answers, but Mary Roach does, and she'll be talking about them.
Okay.
Yeah. Another really hot book this fall is The Dream Hotel by Leila Lelami. If you like sci-fi or kind of dystopian stuff, this one is going to be for you. It's eerie and urgent, and it explores the seductive nature of technology. And the author asks, like, how much of ourselves should remain private? And can even the most invasive forms of surveillance capture who we really are? So that's going to be a really good one.
Yeah.
Switching topics entirely, let's talk about cheese. This is a great new book out called The Wisconsin Way, Cheese Making in the Driftless. And of course,
W-H-E-Y.
Yep, right? Yep. Okay. And the four authors, Nicole Bajeski, Kristen Mitchell, Keith Burrows, and Leslie Damaso, traveled through Western Wisconsin from Schulzburg to Westby, and they met with all of these cheesemakers. And this book tells the stories and really celebrates their dedication to our state's incredible cheesemaking tradition. And I have heard through the grapevine there will be samples at this event.
Oh, well, so, okay. Now we put food in the mix here, too.
Exactly.
All right, good. Nice. Yeah. All right, what's next?
Two last novels to share with you. Middle Spoon by Alejandro Varela is hilarious and heartbreaking. The main character, the narrator, is living the dream. He has a doting husband, two precious children, and a sexy younger boyfriend. So this book sort of skewers the unspoken rules we live by and offers some really surprising perspectives on love, loss, and reinvention. So I think this will be a great one to go see. And last but not least, ending on a high note, The Phoebe Variations by Jane Hamilton. So Jane Hamilton is a Wisconsin legend. She is a novelist who lives on an apple orchard in the southeastern part of the state. And if you recognize her name, it's because way back, her two early books, The Book of Ruth and A Map of the World, were not just New York Times bestsellers, but they were also Oprah Winfrey book club picks. So Jane Hamilton, she's just wonderful. So this is her latest. It's hot off the press. Again, it's called The Phoebe Variations, and it's a coming-of-age novel about daughters, mothers, and finding one's way in the world. And of course, Wisconsin plays a big part in the story. It's one of the settings there. So.
All right. So these are all that will these and many more will be highlighted at the Wisconsin Book Festival, Wisconsin Book chippewafestival.org. That's easy enough for you to find.
Yeah.
And then the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which begins tomorrow in Eau Claire. That is cvbookfest.org. So it was great that you happened to know that these couple were coming up on the calendar.
Yeah.
And helping people know, because, I mean, is this like a book festival season, or is this kind of a year-round thing that you'll see different communities have book festivals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, there are some other book festivals in Wisconsin that are also annual events, just like the two that I spoke about. If you live in the Waukesha area, the Southeast Wisconsin Festival of Books is coming up also. That's November 7th and 8th. The website for that is sewibookfest.com. That's an annual event. And then next year, looking forward to 2026, in the Stevens Point, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids area, that is the Central Wisconsin Book Festival. And that's usually held in September every year, as is the Washington Island Book Festival. So those are annual events. You can look out for those.
Where you can add to your ever-growing to-be-read list.
Yes, the TBR. You should see my TBR. It's huge.
I was just going to ask how big the TBR list is right now for you, Laura.
I have TBR stacks around my house. Ask my husband. He's always tripping over them. They're everywhere.
Sounds like somebody needs TBR triage to be done over here. Laura Bird, thank you so much for telling us about the festivals, and we'll talk to you next month. Thanks. You so much. All right. Have a wonderful day. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jane Matinair. She and Greg Bach will have Matinair on Air coming up from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll have my interview with Francesca Hong, also Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. That's all tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, back now with Jane Matinair. Matinair on Air, coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, you and Greg Bach. Hopefully, I mean, I know you kids have been arguing lately.
My goodness, things got hot.
Somebody was listening during the commercial break here, and PJ writes, Greg's breakfast sounds boring. So that's a spoiler alert. There's going to be a breakfast debate coming up on today's show.
Well, for the last half an hour of the show, Pat, we call it audio sorbet, where we get away from the news and just talk about lighter things so we all don't collectively lose our minds. And we were talking as we were prepping the show this morning about what do we want to do for audio sorbet, and it's chicken and waffle day, which I know you mentioned when you do this day in history.
I think we overlooked that one, Parker.
Did you?
I did not see that.
Anyway, okay. So it is chicken and waffle day, and this led to a discussion about whether or not sweet things should ever be involved in breakfast, which led to a 15-minute argument.
Okay.
We were getting ready for the show. So Breakfast Wars will be our audio sorbet topic for today. Can you have waffles with syrup and a sausage croissant, or is that a food crime?
I love food fights on the radio. I do. I love food fights. So that'll work out just well. And by the way, while we're doing things in the comment sections here, let's see. Alicia says, I'm not a chicken and waffles kind of lady, but she says, I did just get a new bookshelf to hold my growing TBR. Meaning to be read. So with all of the recommendations that Laura just gave us, I know there's a lot of TBR on the bookshelf here behind me, but it's my TBR IR list to be read in retirement, because that's probably when I'm going to have time for that. So what else you got happening on today's show?
Well, today we are going to talk, we're going to start off and talk about the No Kings rallies. Mm-hmm. One of my sisters and I went out on Saturday. We were in Brookfield. And it was a very positive experience, except for, I would say, the three cars who drove by and insisted on flipping us off. They were the angriest people I recall seeing. I kept asking folks, Are you Antifa? Are you, you know, do you have your Antifa?
Yeah, where's your George Soros check? Yeah.
Card-carrying member of Antifa, because that's what all the Republicans who had said who was going to be out on Saturday. And nobody claimed to be with Antifa, and no one had a check from George Soros. So I was very disappointed.
I know. Come on, George. Let's pony this stuff up,
Step
please.
Step it up, you know?
Yeah.
Dude,
I mean,
come on.
The guy says you're paying us, so it must be true.
On the show today, Pat, we are going to talk about the shutdown. Brian Stile and Gwen Moore were on Upfront on WISN over the weekend. By the way, Brian Stile's been off of work for a really long time. If you wanted to leave him a call, you could probably do that and tell him what a fine job he's doing.
Yes.
Also coming up on the show today, all the best commutations. George Soros, of course.
George Santos. I'm sorry.
Different, yes. George.
George Santos. Again, when you elect a criminal as president, the criminals are going to be released from prison and replaced with folks like us
who
have not committed crimes. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And again, I don't know where, you know, the tipping point is for any given person. But once again, I'm pretty confident that there were a couple of people yesterday that were like, really?
Yeah.
We're letting George Santos out now. So I could see where that would be the case. I'm betting you're as well going to get into Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem's new private jets. Jets, plural. J-E-T-S. Jets.
Two jets for Kristi. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think I have determined why she needs two separate jets, Pat.
Why?
It's one for her and just one for her hair extensions, because they can't travel at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
The weight is too much, so you have to spread it out over two private jets. It's only $172
million. Only $172 million, which they can afford along with a ballroom for the White House, endless golf trips. You've got the military occupying cities. You've got all of the ICE hirings and raids that are going on. You're getting a plane from Qatar that you have to retrofit for like $400 million.
But he gets to keep.
We'll give you a base in Idaho as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the $40 billion that's about to go to Argentina. While our farmers have no market, and Trump's response was, well, we're going to buy more Argentine beef, to which cattle farmers in the United States are like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And he was asked about that on Air Force One, returning from a golf trip,
of course,
about American farmers kind of feeling like they're getting the shaft. And he essentially said, you know, Argentina's having a really tough time right now.
It is. It's hard.
We need to help. I need to help Argentina because I like the president. And Scott Bessent, of course, he didn't say this, has a lot of friends who have invested in Argentina, but that's a whole kind of little side.
Well, that's the thing. You've got a leader there whose nickname is El Loco. Because
yes.
he is very Trumpy, I guess you could call it. And he is up for re-election later this month. And suddenly Trump, he was one of the few world leaders that showed up for Trump's inauguration, who came to D.C. And so, yeah, so El Loco is getting $40 billion of our money. And now maybe we're buying some Argentine beef. And I put all this in yesterday morning's newsletter. And, you know, just made real clear that at this point, there is a nickname for folks who still believe that this is a president who's putting America first. And that nickname is El Loco, because it's crazy if you think that's what we're doing here. You have a lot of ground to cover today.
We do.
You probably need 2 hours for this.
It will be 2 hours. Yes, absolutely. So I hope you can join us. You can always listen on the live stream. You can listen on the app. Catch us that way if you are not in the market.
Yes. And the app, and also by there's podcasts. There's so many different ways. So, but the best one, 9 to 11 weekday mornings.
I appreciate that, Pat. I appreciate that, Parker. Go have some chicken and waffles. Live on the edge. Push it.
All right.
Go crazy.
Not till after I hear you and Greg. One of you is going to sway me one way or the other. Thank you, Jane. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Have a great day, Parker. Thank you for everything. We'll see all of you back here tomorrow as well. We've got a full load here. We've got Representative Francesca Hong talking about her race for governor. Dan Schaefer, Cam Stevenson, Steve Bowe, Dan Hagen, James Kelly. You're going to want to stick around. It's going to start at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning when we welcome you back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.